The title of my talk is Semiochemicals for the Asian Longhorn Beetle, Anaplophora glabropennis. The real title I wanted to use was Evidence of a Long-Range Female Pheromone. And I share Ezra's sentiments. I think it's great to see so many talks in chemical ecology. It feels like a symposium. And I also encourage you to stick around for Maya's talk from Penn State. She's going to be talking about the male-produced pheromone, and she did field bioassays. So after the coffee break, you get to hear the other side of the coin. So the Asian longhorn beetle, a lot of people know, it's an invasive species introduced from China, came over in woodpacking materials as larvae. It was first detected in New York City in 96, Chicago in 98, New Jersey in 2003, spread over from New York City, and then Toronto in 2003. The environmental impact of this species is potentially very devastating because of its broad host range. And Nowak et al. Estimated that potential damages can be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So, give you a little background on the eradication effort. Survey and detection relies on visual inspection of trees only. So, the research needs, we need a semiochemical-based lure. And this will be a great tool in surveying and monitoring. I think the most useful thing that we can get out of this study is a long-range attractant and have it operate more than within a tree. Ai-Jing Zhang has published on a male-produced pheromone, but I believe that the female long-range pheromone has a greater range than the male-produced pheromone. But perhaps the best lure will be a combination of these two pheromone lures. I'll just give you a background on some of the other subfamilies in Cerambycidae, the Prionines. There's one species that has a female-produced long-range pheromone, and it's basically the ovipositor is extended and releases the pheromone. That paper is by Barbara et al. And in the Cerambycines, if you've been reading the publications from the Hanks lab and Jocelyn Miller, there's a male-produced aggregation pheromone, and those are in the thoracic glands, and those are long-range pheromones. But so far with the Lamiaeans, there's no known long-range pheromone. So I wish I had a dollar for every time someone said, well, what's up with the Lamiaeans? Well, the life cycle is very complex. There's a lot of things operating at once. You have host volatiles, the long-range pheromones, which I'm hypothesizing, showing evidence for the short, or not short range, but the male-produced pheromone. You also have contact pheromones, trail pheromones, and oviposition deterrent pheromones. And these are all choreographed together in their life cycle. And then you have that sexy evolutionary question of why do these beetles have such long antennae? And it's like captivated a lot of people. So the objectives of my study is identify the putative long-range female pheromones. That's my primary objective. And then look at the pheromone interaction with host volatiles. Often, pheromone lures can be synergized when used in combination with host volatiles. So the ultimate goal is to develop a better lure. And with these objectives answered, hopefully it'll be a big help in the eradication effort. It could be used as a surveying and monitoring tool, or we can use it in combination with the biological control agent. Ann Hayek has been doing a lot of work on fungal pathogens. So it would be great to combine these lures with fungal pathogens as well. Yeah, so there's a lot of use in developing a long-range lure, an effective long-range lure. So in order to answer these objectives, my experimental rationale, first I collected samples, aerations or tissue extracts, and I did a pretty comprehensive study of host versus non-hosts. And I also looked at female tissue extracts. I screened for volatiles using GCEAD, identified them using GCMS, bioassayed lab behavioral assays in the lab. And once you find enough compounds that have positive lab bioassays, you can take these and formulate lures and release rates and all that good stuff, and then test the field lures in China. So the collection of host and non-host volatiles, I did field collection of host volatiles outside, using Kevlar bags and super Q as an absorbent. For the female pheromones, I collected compounds from female tissue extracts. I used GC-EAD screening. For those of you who don't know this technique, it's a GC combination with an electroantennography detector. And there's a splitter inside the GE that and you inject your sample, and it splits your effluent. And half the sample goes to the FID, the flame ionization detector, in the GC. And the other half will pass over the insect antennae. And here's an excised Asian longhorn beetle insect antennae in the bottom. So I just cut it right at the base of the antennae and put in electrodes. It's possible to make two independent simultaneous recordings, so you can tap into the olfactory system of ALB. And here's an example of three EAD responses lining up perfectly with three compounds coming out of the GC. You have octanal, nonanal, and decanal. These are three host plant volatiles. So identify the peaks using GCMS. You can run the identical sample on the GCMS and then analyze the peaks with the mass spectrum, or you can just match it to a known standard. Lab behavioral assays. I would put the attractants on filter paper on one end of the Y-maze olfactometer, and then on the other side I would just use a solvent, just a blank solvent on filter paper. I would put the male ALB in there and record the responses. Just to summarize my results, there's five host volatiles that were predominant in the host and absent in the non-host. I think these might have something to do with host discrimination. For the species I used, I skipped over that slide. I used striped maple, sugar maple, poplar, and for the non-host, I used ailanthus and calorie pear. A horse chestnut, that's the other. So there was four species of hosts and two species of non-hosts, just to see if there's any patterns in the volatile production. So those are all antennally active. The female pheromones, I identified three antennally active compounds with the activated female tissue extracts. And the components varied with mating status. And this is the reason, I think, why the long-range pheromone works. So summary of the lab behavioral assays, the activated female tissue extracts were more attractive to male ALB than crude extracts. The full component blend was more attractive than solvent controls. And then to whittle down the number of compounds, three component, three male, female blend had the same activity as the full blend. So at this point I was ready to test these in the field. There's hanging field lures. That's Mr. Xu's son, Xuan Chao, helping me hang a field lure. And they were just preparing field lures in the other picture. I used IPM flight intercept panel traps. So I tested virgin versus mated blend. That's four treatments, six reps, randomized complete block design. I also tested the best blend with plant volatiles, and I added the five antennally active plant volatiles in another treatment, another experiment. And then 2007, I retested the partial blend versus full blend with plant volatiles and little oxide. Little oxide was from Joe Francesa's thesis. It's a female-produced compound, and we still don't know what the behavioral implications are with that compound. And I also better honed the release rates, and I made a bigger sampling design. 11 treatments. Sorry, switch that around. I got 7 treatments, and I had 11 replications. So there's dyslexia getting me. So here's the results from 2006, the virgin versus mated lure blends. The virgin female blend caught significantly more beetles than the mated female blend. I couldn't use ANOVA. That didn't fit the assumptions for heterogeneity of variances. So I used a chi-square in this study. So it's more attractive than the mated female blend. Virgin female, single compound, is more attractive than that. And it was much more attractive than the controls, the less than 0.001 p-value. I did another treatment. I took the best female blend, and I blended it with plant volatiles. Again, I used a chi-square analysis. And these caught significantly more beetles than the controls. In both these experiments, I caught more males than females. But I didn't catch significantly more males than females, statistically. In 2007, I tested the female blends and plant volatiles. And on the axis here, you got mean beetles per trap per week and against all the treatments. And here the partial female blend and the partial female blend plus plant volatiles plus linalool oxide caught significantly more beetles than the controls. I wanted to know what linalool oxide did. It's very interesting. It caught a lot of beetles, but it wasn't significantly different than controls. What was interesting about the results about this season was that I did catch significantly more males than females in two of the treatments. So, you know, here are the same results, but I divided the males and females. And if you notice that the partial female blend didn't catch significantly more males, but the partial female blend plus plant volatiles plus linalool oxide, this caught only males. And it caught significantly more males than females. And was the entire treatment was significantly different than the controls. Linalool oxide, this is a mystery to me. It caught all males in the treatment, significantly more males than females. But overall, that treatment was not significantly different than controls. Again, I used chi-square analyses. Okay, 1 minute. So conclusions, GC80 screening, there are three female-derived volatiles identified. And the ratios were unique inversions. So this is the magic behind, I think, why these long-range pheromones worked this summer. In the lab behavioral assays, the activated female extracts are more attractive than crude extracts, and synthetic pheromones, I also tested synthetic ones, were more attractive than controls, and the three-component blend was equally attractive as the full blend. And virgin female blends, this is in the field assays, captured more beetles than mated blends. The female blends plus plant volatiles were more attractive than controls. And then the summer's results, I had the blend of female blends, plant volatiles, and linalool oxide captured more beetles than controls and captured significantly more male beetles than females. The acknowledgments, I'd like to thank the Alphawood Foundation for the generous support, my major professor, the Teal Lab, and Beijing Forestry University. So here is everybody, all the Chinese undergrad students, Mr. Xu, and here are my young beetle catchers. And I also like to thank Maya for her help in the field and you know, being a good colleague this past summer. So thank you very much, and I'll take any questions. Yes? So I can't tell you. So yeah, that's a response. You asked if the three EAD responses were from the male Asian longhorn beetle. Yes, yeah, those responses are from the Asian longhorn beetle, and those aldehydes were responses from three plant volatiles. So,
one more question.
Yes.
Did you try any virgin
females? The wild caught beetles, we were unable to determine the mating status. So this upcoming summer, I'm planning on caging logs out in China and then capturing or just collecting the virgin females. And I'd like to try to cage those beetles on trees to see if they attract males. So those experiments are in the planning for next summer.
Thanks. All right, thanks for all the speakers. For the